Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, and I couldn't be more pleased to have with us as our guest Catherine Gorka, a woman who has really emerged as an incredibly important force in the battle space of this war for the free world that I think is, as we'll be talking with her about, greatly underestimated and, for that matter, not being terribly well prosecuted, namely the war of ideas. She is currently waging that war at a new institution she co-founded and is the president of, called the Council on Global Security. And it has just published a very important new white paper on this whole question of the flawed science of the U.S. counterterrorism strategy. She formerly ran the very highly regarded and marvelous Westminster Institute. She is the co-editor of a really important book on this broad subject entitled Fighting the Ideological War, Winning Strategies from Communism to Islamism. Katie Gorka, welcome back. It's great to have you with us, particularly in a moment when these questions are so topical.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be with you.
I want to start with kind of this insight that you've had in terms of assessing critically the Obama administration's waging of this war, this counterterrorism strategy, as they call it, particularly against the backdrop of something that I'm asking all of our guests basically to address, and that is this sort of narrative that is emerging at the moment that we're confronting, at least here at home, individuals who are described as lone wolves and self-radicalizing and disconnected from any kind of ideology that might be either animating them or, for that matter, it appears, you know, folks like the Islamic State. What's the truth of the matter in terms of this, Katie? Is there an ideological underpinning that actually brings this sort of global jihadist enterprise together?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really a false narrative that's been created in talking about these lone wolves as if they're not connected to some broader movement. And I think it's just another way to downplay the importance of the ideology. But of course, they're profoundly connected to the broader movement. And, you know, whether or not there's a direct correlation, you know, for example, I know with Nidal Hassan, the perpetrator of the Fort Hood shooting, you know, they actually found direct correspondence with Anwar al-Awlaki, the radical preacher. But you don't even need that kind of direct relationship to be able to demonstrate amply that these, quote, lone wolves are very much a part of the, you know, the Islamist jihadist fight, and they're inspired by it. They're reading the literature. Their computers are full of the literature. So, you know, I think it's a myth that they're just out there by themselves.
Or self-radicalizing. They are connecting up in some form or fashion, and it's often, it seems, at the mosques, not just on the internet or through YouTube or what have you. And Katie, how would you describe this ideology? You and your husband, Sebastian Gorka, have, as I say, participated in some serious work on the ideological character of, well, I call it the war for the free world that we've been in for decades. But whether it was communism or whether it's what I think of as sort of communism with a god at the moment, this Islamist ideology, how would you describe it?
It's absolutely totalitarian. It cannot exist with other religions or indeed other races. It's supremacist. It's absolutely bigoted. It's fascist. Our good friend and colleague Stephen Ulf, who's based in the UK, has done tremendous work on the many parallels between today's jihadist ideology and fascist ideology. And honestly, it will not rest until, you know, the whole world has been brought under the banner of Islam.
And you've written recently at Breitbart.com about why the Islamic State is winning. It seems to have a fair amount to do with this, you know, ideological imperative, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it has to do with that, but also the fact that we are not countering it. And it's been so interesting, you know, over the last few weeks, as the United States has engaged militarily against ISIS in Syria and Iraq, there's been increasing discussion about what will it take to win this fight, and some really interesting voices, both in the UK and here in the United States, have started going, you know, being more public and saying, you know, kinetic means alone are not going to defeat ISIS. You know, the problem is every time we take down one fighter on the side of jihad, if we're not going after the ideology, they're going to have 10 more to fill that spot, not to mention the 100 others or the 1,000 others who may not be fighting, but who are helping to fund it, who are quietly looking the other way while these atrocities are carried on. So, you know, the fact that we are not addressing the ideology that's driving these people means, you know, we've lost before we've even started.
And you cite a quote from our friend Bill Gertz, with whom we'll be speaking shortly, from Quentin Wiktorowicz, about, you know, how we're not going to engage in this kind of war of ideas. And he was, of course, a security senior staff member directing the Office of Global Engagement, as it's called.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, it was a terrific piece that Bill Gertz wrote, but I have to say I found it so supremely hypocritical that Quentin Wiktorowicz made that statement. So what he said was, he said this to Bill, he said, "We are not engaging in the war of ideas against Islam. We can't because of the separation of church and state in this country." That is so false, because first of all, President Obama is doing it all the time anyway. Every time he says Islam is a religion of peace, he's engaging in that debate. So to say we can't engage in it, I think it's really hypocritical. But what's also really important is that Wiktorowicz is really the one who kind of designed a lot of our counterterrorism strategy on the basis that we needed to work with the nonviolent Islamists in order to keep the so-called violent Islamists at bay. And we can see what kind of trouble that's gotten us into. I mean, I think it's absolutely a failed strategy.
Yeah. Well, it makes a false distinction at the end of the day, doesn't it? That there is something that is moderate about people like the Muslim Brotherhood, who seek exactly the same supremacist goals for Sharia as do the jihadists, you know, that sprang from the Brotherhood in almost every case, but who just have different techniques for accomplishing it in the short run.
And the great point that Tom Jocelyn at the Long War Journal has made is that the Muslim Brotherhood is like the gateway drug for Al-Qaeda and ISIS. I mean, so much of the senior leadership in those organizations began in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Let me just close with a comment that you noted in your Breitbart piece about a General Jonathan Shaw. You alluded to it a moment ago, but he's the assistant chief of the UK defense staff. And in an interview with the London Telegraph, he said that the heart of the problem is that Qatar and Saudi Arabia are funding militant Salafism, and in so doing are promoting this building of the infrastructure and the expansion, the proliferation of this ideological warfare. That seems such a refreshing break from the nonsense of the Wiktorowicz's and the Obamas, for that matter. Katie, do you think that marks a break, or are we really just sort of going to continue to turn a blind eye because these are putative partners in this war?
I do think it's an important break, and I think the UK, honestly, is a little bit ahead of us on this. They saw how their counterterrorism strategy was called PREVENT, and it involved, you know, real engagement with Muslims in the UK, and what they found out was it really was counterproductive because it brought radicals into the process. It sort of empowered the radicals, and they realized the failure of this, and they kind of left it behind, and so they're actually quite a few steps ahead of us right now.
That's the good news. The bad news is I think they're further along as well in subordinating themselves to Sharia. I just want to close with a quote you cite in your piece from our friend Robert Riley, the former director of the Voice of America, which says, in quote, "The U.S. side has failed to show up for the war of ideas. Strategic communication or public diplomacy, the purpose of which is to win such wars, is the single weakest area of U.S. government performance since 9/11. Katie Gorka, I know you agree with that, and you are doing your, you know, manful best, if I may use that expression, notably now at your new council. to try to help make up for the lacking of our government in this space. Thank you for what you're doing at the Council on Global Security. Keep it up. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll talk with Bill Gertz about his interview with Quentin Rutkorovich, among other things, inside the ring. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.